Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Welcome to However Imperfectly, where homeschooling and homemaking intersect. This podcast is for the homeschool mom who desires to educate her children with a rich Charlotte Mason education and also has meals to put on the table and laundry to sort each day. I am your host, Joy Cherick. I hope you find encouragement as we explore the ideas of Charlotte Mason in the context of our modern homes. Mason provides the principles for living and learning with our children that offers education unlike the one we received and a full life together. We don't have time for the latest educational fad. We need time-tested tools to help us raise and educate our children in truth, beauty, and goodness. I'm sure you will come to find, as I have, that the education we are giving, however imperfectly, exceeds all that we intended or imagined. The first time our family memorized the Ten Commandments, I was struck by how the fourth commandment just goes on and on and on. For the biblical authors, when they say something once and then restate it and repeat it a third time, it means that we ought to pay special attention to it. Rest is essential for human flourishing. Rest is both a gift and a human right that not only help us enter into the good blessings God offers us spiritually and relationally, but will restore our bodies from the labors of this life and allow us to flourish mind, body, and soul. The timing of the offering of the Ten Commandments to the Israelites is notable because they deeply understood what life is like without rest. As slaves of Pharaoh, they were overworked. Pharaoh was never satisfied with the work of the Israelites. When they would meet his demanding goals, he would raise the bar and force them to work more. He wasn't honoring their humanity. He was treating his workers like machines. Pharaoh's demands are familiar to the demands placed on us by technology and our culture of busyness. Our computers are able to go without rest. They never get tired, and the algorithms are able to change and adjust to our workload to ask for more and more of us. Just as Pharaoh was never satisfied when we are plugged into machines, it never says enough. This season on However Imperfectly, we've been looking at the good work we are doing in our homes. We've explored our laundry systems, our meal planning routines, and our family devotions. This is good work. And as we shape our hearts to love what must be done and feed our minds to understand our work more fully, this leads us naturally to realize that we can't just keep up the level of effort required to restore order, feed all the people, and be on top of the messes all day, every day. It's exhausting because the work is truly never done. It's easy to imagine that leaving an office allows you to leave work behind when you return home. But what if you work at home? What if your work is always available to be done on your phone or in the office down the hall from your bedroom? Or is with a mother? What if our work is our family life? How do we receive the rest that God offers? As a young mother, I remember contemplating this particular problem in that my work was caring for the physical needs of my small children, namely food and basic hygiene. This is not something we can put aside one day out of the week. The baby still needs to be nursed and the diaper still needs to be changed every day, all day, no matter what. If a child cuts his leg, he needs to be cared for and the wound needs to be cleaned and bandaged. Jesus addressed this conundrum in his earthly ministry. In Mark 3, he entered the synagogue where there was a man with a withered hand. Jesus heals the man, but before he does so, he asks the question, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, or to save a life or to kill it?" But of course, those he was speaking to were silent. Caring for the sick and helpless are acts of mercy, and these life-giving tasks are good to do and right any day. So if it is not the life-giving work we take a break from, how do we enter the rest that God offers us when we want to be restored for the work at hand? In our modern lives, pausing for a day of rest is countercultural. Often sports teams will schedule games on Sundays, or businesses will host special events. Each day is like all the others. Being countercultural will often make a family or an individual stand out, and it may even hurt our relationships. If you take a day of rest when everyone else on your team is pushing through, you could lose your job or additional income or what have you. Some professions often will take an alternative day of the week off, such as Monday or Thursday, if the weekends are particularly demanding for their profession. As mothers, we can take the cues from our husband's weekly schedule in order to help the whole family enter into this rest. Each family will require different adjustments, but the principle remains the same. We have 6 days to work and one day that is a gift to rest. Okay, so before we get going much further, we need to look at what the day of rest is not. So number one, it's not a day of sloth. Now, you don't need to allow your house to fall into chaos in the name of rest. Disorder is not restful. So if you come to Sunday and the house is upside down and with filth, and take a look at your habits to prepare for the Sabbath and see if there's anything you can put into place ahead of time to allow you to rest fully on Sundays. This might mean being more intentional on Friday or Saturday to get laundry, meal prep, or shopping done before Sunday so that you aren't running to the store or shopping online. These are the things that I like to avoid on Sunday because it distracts from worship and rest, which are what the whole day is set apart to enjoy. So number two, it is not a day of work. We work so that we can rest. Scripture tells us, strive to enter his rest, which lets us know that there is truly a level of work involved in preparing our homes and hearts and bodies for the Sabbath. I used to think about the work of a mother never fully getting a day of rest because diapers need to be changed and the baby fed. These are not things to rest from. These are life-giving practices that offer life and love to another. But I can get laundry done on Saturday or be prepared with ingredients and other things like a casserole for the Sunday meal. This level of preparation and work ahead of time makes our Sunday run more smoothly. I can feel my own lack of preparation if I've neglected to do these things, and my leisure time on that rest day suffers as well. So I am motivated to get that work done so that I will have more time to rest. Number three, it is not a day of pride. Whenever we talk about the law, it's easy to get stuck into prideful ways to carry it out and get all puffed up about our execution. Yuck. But it's easy to start adding rules and making all sorts of conditions for ourselves and others in our family. The best I can say is that thank God for his kindness in giving us the body of Christ through family and spouse and church to help us bring more life toward what God is offering us, and not burdensome rules to be weighed down by. Rest is a gift. Gifts are received with grateful hearts, with humility. Now, what if you get to Sunday and you and the kids have been sick all week and the house is upside down and there's no clean laundry and you feel just awful? I'm so sorry. Yes, I've been there too. What's fun about God's promises is that we receive them by faith and not by what we do or how organized we are. I know, I just told you that we strive to enter his rest, which is true. But like most biblical truths, there's an and. And we receive his rest through faith. We obey and trust that God has offered this gift of rest to us. We thank him for it. Obedience is something that we can do by taking the day of rest. We find our rest in Him. He is our rest. Let me give you an example from history. When Prince Albert married Queen Victoria, the duties of the royal family were changing and becoming more and more demanding. Prince Albert had multiple social engagements each day and was also battling some sort of abdominal disease like Crohn's. He needed a larger amount of rest for his body because of his condition, but he was unwilling or unable to take a break because his schedule and royal duties were so demanding. He pushed his body to its limits, and in the end, he died young, leaving his 9 children and grieving wife behind. He literally worked himself to death. His wife, the queen, wore black for the rest of her life and never got over the loss of her love. Prince Albert pushed his body beyond its limits. Even a prince has limits. We are all finite. Our whole life can be stressful and busy, stretching our humanity to its very ends. We need to rest in order to thrive during the very demanding work of caring for small children. We don't want to treat ourselves the way Pharaoh treated the Israelites. The human body is not a machine that can go nonstop without taking a break. We were created to reflect the image of God, and even He rested one day in 7. Rest doesn't mean we are lazy. We've worked to claim it. Rest comes when we forget ourselves and remember that we are here to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Our minds are focused on praise outwardly and not on pride inwardly. Praise is restful. Pride is not. As you do the good work this week of caring for your children and cleaning up all the messes, I hope you are able to work to enter His rest. In it, you will find strength and peace. I'll leave you with the full commandment from Exodus 20 that really does bring us life if we claim it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested on the 7th day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This episode is sponsored by Nature Study Hacking. Nature Study Hacking resources help you get outside and learn how to use those wonderful nature journals. Head over to naturestudyhacking.com to learn more.